So I was talking to Don earlier about the possibility of telling the same story that I've told here before. And he told me it doesn't matter. So I'm going to tell you this story from high school. And if I've told it before, I have another one that I could tell. So have you heard my high school story?
No?
Okay. So in high school, yeah, well, hey, one's fine. So in high school, I played basketball, and I was on a team with six other seniors, and we were varsity basketball players, and there were 22 people in my graduating class. And two classes behind us, the sophomores, they had 115 people. And the sophomore girls, they liked senior basketball players. But the sophomore boys didn't like that. So this one guy who played guard on the team, he was about 5'2", very small. He lives in L.A. now, Charles. He got jumped by the 10th grade boys a couple of times because he was the smallest and he lived in a part of town by himself, so he was often alone. And we decided, since there were so few of us, that we'd have to deal with this. The 10th grade boys told us, if you show up for the dance on Friday night, we're going to kick all of your asses. And it's like, okay, we'll be there. Living in the South at the time, and it's pretty much the same, everybody had guns. You know, your parents, your grandfather, they had guns in the house because people hunted, and you knew where they were. They were usually locked in a trunk or in a closet, but oftentimes they were just there. And as kids, you were wise enough to know not to touch them. This was the 60s, and maybe we were a little ahead of our time, but Charles, the guy who was getting jumped, he suggested that we show up to the dance armed. So Charles had his grandfather's old 45, and this other guy had a shotgun. I had my grandfather's 38. There were six of us with guns. And so we showed up at this dance that was in the gym, and there was this long walkway and one light at the very end. And there was this crowd of 10th grade boys, you know, mumbling, yeah, you motherfuckers showed up. We're going to kick your asses, blah, blah. And Charles was at the front of the line. So he opened his coat. And they saw his gun, and everybody kind of quieted down. And the line parted, and we were walking through. And I was the last guy in line. And I'm walking, and Charles yells, Dunnell, look out. And I turn around, and this guy named Buck Pruitt, who I saw in L.A. like 5-10 years later at a party, and I had forgotten about this incident. And I walked up to him, hey, Buck, how you doing? And he kind of backed off and looked at me, you know. It's like, and then it came to me. It's like, oh, okay, he remembers. So Buck had this baseball bat, and I turned around, and he was going to hit me with this baseball bat. If he'd hit me, it would have killed me. So I grabbed the bat with my left hand, pulled the .38 out, and put it to his head and snapped it without even thinking. And he fell on the ground. He says, oh, don't kill me. And the gun didn't go off. So I'm pissed off because the gun didn't go off, and he's on the ground. And I snapped it again. And it still didn't go off. And someone yelled, Hal's coming. And he was the local cop. And I put the gun away, and 10th graders and seniors, we all ran off together finding hiding places so we wouldn't be put in jail. The next day, Charles and I went out into this field behind our house, shot the gun. It worked perfectly. And to this day, I think, you know, I was 18 at the time, in Arkansas, I think how very different my life would be. I probably wouldn't even be here. And, of course, I think, what's the difference between me and guys who pulled the trigger and the gun went off? Guys who were locked down, who were in jail, who, you know, I've had a pretty normal life, a good life. You know, college education, you know, jobs, money and all of that. But it's strictly by chance. And Charles called in the troops, and that was us. And that's my story.